Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son, our Lord, is the Good Shepherd. That he sees us, that he cares for us, and that he loves us. Help us to receive that truth afresh this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it is nearly May, which is the time of revision. So many of you will have heard me speak on the I am sayings of Jesus before. So let's have a quick recap. There are said to be seven significant I am sayings in John's Gospel. Who can name all seven? Six? No. Oh, here we go. Dan's going for it. Right. Okay. Let's. Here we go. Go on then. Number one. I'm the Good Shepherd. You're not getting that one. That's a freebie. That's today. Hopeless. Sorry, what was the second one? Bread of Life.
Do you know what? I've studied John's Gospel.
Anyone else? Anyone else? What? I am the truth and the life. Thank you. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the true vine. Sorry?
Gate.
I am the gate or the door, yes, depending on how it's translated. We've got one more that I don't know. You might say, I am the light. Do we have that? Oh, Darren, well, it's very good. As revision goes, everyone else, we're going to have a short revision class afterwards. Meet me in my study. No, don't worry. All of those teenagers suddenly grip themselves when you say, it's time for a revision. You remember that I said several months ago what I am stands for. I am, when Jesus says this, he is taking upon himself the holiness of God. He is saying when he says, I am Yahweh, he takes upon himself the personality of God. So it's not just say, I am, you know, you might say, I'm bored, I'm hungry, I'm lost. He's actually saying something far more significant. He's taking upon himself the I am that we hear in Exodus when God meets Moses. And Moses says, well, who are you? And he says, tell them I am. Jesus is taking upon himself the I am. There are other I ams in John's Gospel as well that are of significance. I don't know why when he says before Abraham is or behind Abraham was, I am. Doesn't make the seven, but there we go. It's significant because arguably that's the moment when the Pharisees decide to crucify Jesus because they're so incensed that Jesus takes upon himself the I am. So let's just take as read the significance of I am, the I am of John's Gospel. I am, and then he says, the Good Shepherd. I just want to unpack those three words. The first word, the. That being you, yes, sorry, I'm not clicking my button, am I? The. In Greek, the means the. So, unsurprisingly, the winner, the champion, the Messiah, the King. It is definite. Jesus says that he is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is unique. Since returning to parish ministry, I've encountered a new phenomenon. I've encountered that people say to me that they are spiritual, that they cover or follow all religions. This has been very interesting to me. I managed to watch the start of Life of Pi. Have you seen that film or read the book, Life of Pi? You know, this young man who spends, seems like an eternity in a boat with a tiger. If you haven't seen it, it sounds strange. It probably is strange, but it's worth watching. It's interesting. And the lead character, Pi, in the book, he says that he is a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, and a Jew. And when I heard him say that, I sat there nodding, saying, yes, that's right, yes. My postmodern mind thinking, yes, that must be right. And then I suddenly felt myself being called up because Jesus doesn't say he is a good shepherd. He says he's the good shepherd. Sadly, it makes little sense. Maybe I'm just not spiritual in the way that other people describe, but it makes little sense when understanding Jesus not to understand him as unique. He makes a unique claim for himself. He makes a unique claim for himself because he knows that we go looking for salvation in the wrong place. In Exodus, God says to his people, I am a jealous God. And he warns them repeatedly against idolatry, about running after other gods. He says, I am a jealous God. Jesus is a jealous God too, we should understand. He says he is the good shepherd, and we go looking for salvation in the wrong place, in the wrong place. Now, many of you have been very kind and commiserated with me that I haven't got a car at the moment, and I've been driving Hannah's Fiat 500. I had one or two 500 owners come and get upset with me, but actually, haven't driven it for 3 months. Hannah's got a face on her already. How dare you be rude about my car? I have to say, in fairness, I quite like the Fiat 500 now. However, I am still in the market for a new car. And I was looking at these lease deals because you get so much more car for your money. And there was this incredible lease deal for a Volvo C60 earlier in the week. I said to Dawn, it's a Volvo. She shrugged, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, inside, it's got lovely leather seats. They look nicer than my armchairs. They look so comfy. It has sat nav, it's got an engine and other things, but it just looks so, so wonderful. And I started thinking, I'm gonna get a Volvo. So I filled in, emailed the company, and for 24 hours, I was walking around just a little bit, you know, a bit straighter up. I was going to get a jumper with Volvo, you know, just real nice. I suspect Volvo drivers have just a special way of greeting each other, a special handshake, I don't know. I just thought I'm going to be initiated into a whole new way of life. Small meetings, I was going to have them in the Volvo. We'd be able to sit there. It's got heated seats. Those in the front would be nice and heated up. And then I got the email on the Thursday morning saying, sorry, we sold out of those months ago. They're an incredible deal. Would you like to buy an expensive one? No, I can't. So I haven't got one, so it's back to the 500. So we're not going to have any meetings in the 500. I went looking for salvation in the wrong place. I thought something of my personality was going to be filled through the car that I was driving. We go looking for salvation in the wrong place. Jesus says, he is the good shepherd. Just the thee. He is the good shepherd. Secondly, he says he is good. I like that picture. It's a good egg. Can you see it? He is good, he says. I mean, there's not much to it, really, is it? The good shepherd. He's good. Good seems to be a word that's lost its potency. Throughout my life, good seems to have shrunk in its ability to communicate something that is, well, good. Pubs have it up on the sign outside, don't they? Especially when you see those old dark signs, it says good food, and you think, yeah, I don't think so. You know, we don't really believe it anymore. And good has been associated with things like, you know, good housekeeping or good afternoon or goodbye. It's something that just trips off the tongue. We've had to come up with new words, haven't we? Fantastic, excellent, outstanding. Start to sound like Ofsted. In the 1980s, we had to change the words altogether. So we went from good went to bad. You remember Michael Jackson singing bad, not doing an interpretation? So you remember, everything was bad. And then in the 1990s, if something was good, it became wicked. I spoke about that before. It became so good, became wicked. And then not so long ago, good changed again. And good became sick, S-I-C. Or Hannah's already shaking, saying, don't do it, Dad. Don't try. Don't speak youth culture. So, or as it's properly said, sick. So, you know, over lunch, she's gonna say to me, you're just not related to me, Dad. I want to start an association for the reclamation for the word good. Because good is good. If the devil and the world can't persuade us of Jesus' uniqueness, that he is the good shepherd, he and they will try to suggest that he's just not good, that he is not a good shepherd. However, his life and his ministry and his love is all good. We can be tempted to believe that he is absent, uncaring, aloof, judging, mean-spirited. He just wants to stop me having a good time. I've heard that so often about Jesus. Jesus is the personification of good. His life was built on service, compassion, courage, joy, and of course, sacrifice. He is good. And not only is he good, but he wants good for you. Search your soul now, as you sit. Do you accept that he is good and he wants good for you? He is good for you. He is good for the world. That video that we just saw with the Archbishop of Canterbury. This young man lost. Why are so many people suggesting to him that he finds God? Because they know Jesus is good and is good for him. The first word is the second word is good. The third isn't going to come up. There we go. The third is shepherd. Jesus is unique. Jesus is good. Jesus is the good shepherd. In my last job, I was blessed. I had two offices, one in my house and one in the diocesan office, and both overlooked fields, and both of them overlooked fields full of sheep. It was great fun. At my 8 o'clock, I used to say morning prayer in the diocesan office, and I used to post on Facebook the activities of the sheep in the field behind the office. And they were really quite remarkable. Sheep are complex, they are unfathomable, they are predictable, and they are often stupid. And Jesus suggests we're the same. And Jesus suggests we are the same. Sheep, just like us, are adorable, especially lambs. Even the hardest of heart can't help but be melted when you see a lamb frolicking in a field. I was at my sister's this Friday evening, lovely sunny evening, and it's deep into lambing season and the lambs are running around. It just warms the soul, doesn't it? You cannot help but your heart be warmed. We are adorable. Humans are adorable like sheep. Sheep, like us, are predictable. Jesus knew that humans do things because of peer pressure or follow the crowd. He would know that the crowd would shout, "Crucify," some time after he declares he is the good shepherd. At 8 o'clock, when I used to look out on this field where I worked, the sheep would line up in single file, hundreds of them, and would walk in a straight line, straight across to the other side of the field at 8 o'clock every single day, for no reason. There was no food, there was no shepherd, there was no farmer, there was no reason. But at 8 o'clock, I used to put it on, and people said, why are they doing this? You're making this up? No, 8 o'clock on Facebook, you could set your clock by the sheep suddenly deciding they were going to walk from one side to the other. We, like sheep, are predictable. Sheep, like us, get lost. Sheep are inquisitive by nature and overstep their abilities to save themselves. I have seen sheep caught in barbed wire. I have seen them breach defences and walk out onto main roads. I have seen them stuck in ditches. And you know what? All they can do is bleat. All they do is bleat. I think I'm the same. I think I'm the same. I often get in trouble and all I can do is bleat. Sheep, like us, know that left to their own devices are vulnerable and liable to disaster. We need each other like the sheep need the flock, but we need the shepherd to oversee the flock. He seeks the lost. He tends to the injured. He encourages the young. He protects the elderly. He watches out for predators. He takes us to green pastures. Without the shepherd, the flock will soon disintegrate. When I talk to churches about the challenges ahead of ministry, I always want to point us back to the Good Shepherd. Without him, the sheep and the flock are in danger. Many of us were at the Vision Day last Saturday. If you weren't there, where were you? We had a lovely Vision Day, had a great time. You all remember at the end of the first exercise, Judas just raised an eyebrow to me. You remember when I said, "This is great," and we all put out why the reasons we love coming to church. And then I said, and no one said, they come because of Jesus. I did get out alive though, so we need to remain focused on the Good Shepherd. Without the shepherd, the flock will disintegrate. Without the shepherd, as individuals, we run the danger of being lost, of being overlooked, of being picked off by predators. This Easter season, I want to challenge us to fix our gaze, our hope, and our affection upon this shepherd, because he's good. As we sit, let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, you said, I am. You took upon yourself the name of God. You said you were the unique, special, blessed, anointed Messiah. You told us you were good. Your life echoes that goodness. Your promises bring that goodness. Your spirit assures us of that goodness. You told us you are a shepherd, that you guide, that you protect, and that you love. Help us to receive you again this day, this Easter season, and always. We welcome the Good Shepherd. Amen.